All right. So here's the deal. Can you just stand here for a minute with me? I'd rather do this now than later. So, we're just, you know, like most of you in this room, there's a few new people here. Hi. Just trying to figure out how to follow Jesus together. It's not that we don't have any clue. It's just there's a lot of stuff that if we're going to be authentic in trying to form families to follow Jesus together, there's going to be places that we come that we don't know exactly how things are going to work out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Holy Spirit, please help right now. Holy Spirit, please help right now. As we tried to make the decision of what does it look like for us to serve the people that God has brought to us. There's a season last fall of repentance and from my heart of just feeling stuck in some areas and really wanting to move into a place where we're operating out of who God's called us to be and functioning in a place where we're trying to form real relationships that are discipling each other and creating a culture where we're leaning into each other. I don't know how things will work out. I don't know how things will go if we make a move from a Sunday night to a Sunday morning, if we make a move and try to prepare for a nursery, I don't know how everything will go, but we just say, Father, just show us one more step. Show us one more step, God. I love this family, but there's never a sense where we're all together. You know, I always feel like there's maybe like 60% of us here. And so sometimes there's moments I'm like, oh, like I don't even know how to do this well because like there are really meaningful people in our family aren't here this morning and we're hearing updates that are really important. There's things that are, I mean, our time in worship together this morning. Guys, it's not a utility. Like we just aren't required to come here and sing some songs. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? I was like, not my heart. I don't want to come here and sing songs. I want to come here and encounter God together. We're on this journey, though. There's some of you who, like, this is the season you've come into, though, so this is what it's always looked like. We started out, there's just a handful of people saying, can we develop real relationships and follow Jesus? And there's been many times we've succeeded and many times that we failed. But somehow, in God's grace, he's just so good to us. Before David shares an update about things that are happening with them. And I just want to say to you, like, we're still in a place where we're leaning into the Lord. God, what does it mean for us to follow you together? But guys, I want to tell you, there's a significance in what God is doing that carries a greater weight than what you can look around a room and see. If you judge what God is doing by how many people show up on a Sunday morning, you will not see what the Father is up to. The Father is so jealous for you and for me. He's jealous for our neighbors. And he's forming a people who know how to love him and love each other. There's a map back on the wall, and there are dreams in my heart to see the gospel shoot out of our community all over the map. But starting in a place where we just learn how to love each other. It's taking time. I had a conversation with Gabe this week. And be honest, on Monday I had a really rough day. And I sent a text message out. And the way that the text messages were responded to by a group of people, I just was like, I can't even deal with this. But Gabe and I were planning to meet the next morning. And I was just, it was a good day, but it was a long day. And my heart just felt shredded. But I got ready to go to bed that night. And I laid down. And I thought, I get to meet with Gabe in the morning. And even though there were some things I thought we had to work through, I was convinced that I was going to walk out of that meeting more in love with him than I did going in. That doesn't happen. I don't know. Like, I can't just tell you. I can tell you that it's important, but I can't tell you, like, how special that is to walk with people in a way that we're committed beyond whether we agree in the moment or not. That makes sense? So I pray that there's and I don't want to just use this word lightly, but I pray that there's a reminding impartation this morning. I mean, as Carl was here, Carl was a pastor when he was here. Carl was a pastor to my heart. When he left, I thought, God, what are we going to do now? But God made a provision. And as we're on a journey, like, we just have to trust that God has a provision. I don't sense this in the room, but I was just reminded this week talking to some leaders as we were away and spending time with friends, and I got a chance to share with Jerry and Crystal's cousin, Jeff. I got to be with them and share. I was just listening to what God's doing. Man, this is so precious. And it's not that we're perfect, right? Don't mishear me. We're not perfect. There's nothing for us to take pride in, but we need to know the weight of what God is trying to form in his people. It's not an AOX thing. It's a God thing. He wants to form family. And so it's going to look different, okay? So I'm really excited to have David share. Gaddis is over there with the amazing kid. But I'm really excited to give an update about what's happening. What'd you say? I would love for you to come up here.
How we doing, guys? Good. I wanted to try that. God is good? And all the time? All right, I just wanted to try that. It's so crazy, though, because, like, whenever he asked who doesn't know Carl, and I don't want to, like, put you on the spot, but I feel like I don't want to also dishonor you, man. Like, more than half the people raised their hand, but Carl was one of the, like, founding five of, like, AOX, like, Carl, Gabe, Jesse, and Adrian and Brad. And, like, not only did they sow into, like, the kind of a lot of the people that you might know, like me or Katie or Alex or Saria, whoever's life, when AOX was much younger than it already is, a lot of this vision and a lot of the things that we have now that we do well kind of come out of that season and time. And I mean, I just know Carl was like a great friend. I mean, whenever I like was first saved and came out of like a lifestyle of sin, right? And I'm like, what do I do on a Friday night? And he's like, let's just play Gatorade Pong. And so like, right? Because it's like, you know, you're a Christian. So anyways, I just love you, bro. And I just want to tell you that this is like a fruit, man. Like, this is even almost like confirming those words. Like, all the good stuff happening here is like out of your life too, man. So anyways, I feel like there's also probably for one of the first times, less than half the people in this room know my testimony or our testimony. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing right now, but I want to share part of it, I guess, in through the lens of the news. So a lot of you guys, I may have already told you, but I was recently accepted into grad school at the University of Michigan. Oh, thank you so much. For an MFA in creative writing, which is basically they're going to pay me to write books, right? So, like, I get a full scholarship, and then I get, like, a $22,000 a year stipend, which is just, like, money in my pocket, right? Like, and it's the number one school in the country for what I'm doing in my particular field. Come here, baby. I feel like you're so far away from me. So I guess, I don't know, just a little bit about that. She's just pushing me out. You want to hang out with us, Kawan Coconut Head? All right, come on, man. Oh, this is my nephew, Kawan. Say hi.
Okay.
Say hi to Kawan, guys. Hi. Can you hang out with him? I mean, that's even a part of it, dude. So, okay, short story. Not to sound too dramatic, but my earliest memory with my dad, my earthly father, is him teaching me how to write stories. I would like, he would teach me the Bible stories, and then I would like write them in little comic books and like fold them over and like staple them together. So like Moses going to the mountain, I would like put him in my own words. It's like my earliest memory that I have as a child. And before I was saved, I'm from Washington, Pennsylvania, which is like an hour and a half away, kind of like a smaller jug town. I kind of grew up, it was kind of rough over there, but I was a rapper, right? So I was like really in love with words. I wanted to rap and I wanted to like make that happen. That was kind of like my dream. And I ended up actually dropping out of high school. And then I moved in with my aunt, who was the like one of the only Christians in my family. And she went to a church in Columbus where like Ryan Rose and Jasmine Tate. Thank you, Brad. Ryan Rose, Jasmine Tate, Blaze Johnson, Nick, Saria, a lot of us kind of like went there. So my junior and senior year of high school, I lived with her, went to that church, went to like this private Christian school there, still wasn't really following God. And then, but through that time, I did a summer program at New York University where I got a scholarship to go to the college for dramatic writing, so screenwriting. Which is like NYU is the number one school in the world for that, right? And so I'm like, I'm there. I'm like, I'm going to make movies. You know, you can sell a screenplay for like $250,000 a pop, like bare minimum. So I was like, I'm going to be set. I'm going to change my family's life. I'm going to do all this stuff. And I'm probably going to meet Jay-Z. And so then he's going to sign me. And this is going to be good, right? Like life is going to be great. And of course, like I was there and I got saved. You know what I mean? And so it was really good. I gave my life to Jesus and I lost like all of that, right? Like all my friends thought I was crazy. And I kind of had to lay all that stuff down through sacrifice. And in the midst of pursuing Jesus, it was really, really hard for me, right? I joke about it a lot, but it was really hard because you feel like, oh, I finally made it. Or I'm at this place that's like the opposite of where I started in life, like started from the bottom, now we're here, you know what I mean? I was like at the top, or I was very close to being at the top. Some things were happening. But I met Jesus, man, and I said, there's nothing worth more than following him. There's nothing worth more than like loving this guy who's like saved my life. And I'll read the Bible and I'm like, this is what the world needs. It doesn't need more money. It doesn't need more stuff. It needs this love that is talked about in the gospel. And through that, I ended up, you know, starting to go to church and stuff like that. So whenever Carl and Brad and them were doing a SCPX, before there was an AOX, we used to do like Summer in the Grove, but it was just like a 10-day like program in the summer. And I was having like a rough time at school. I'd been saved for maybe like a year, and some stuff just wasn't clicking. I was like felt really like isolated and alone and wasn't sure about things. And I came to the Summer SCPX. It was me and Saria. I don't know, were you there, Katie, at that one? Yeah, Katie, Carl, like, there's a lot of people at that one. And anyways, I had this crazy encounter with God there. I fell in love with this community. And one of the things that God had impressed on my heart was that, like, success in the world is just like when you're ready in the world, it's like when you get a degree or when you have a job or when you have enough money to do this. But like success in the Bible is about like when the elders of the church and like the fathers, the spiritual fathers, like they like after they've seen you grow into like maturity as a man or a woman of Christ and they bless you and send you out. And so I was like, I wanted that. And so like through a couple years, like I ended up dropping out of school and saying like, I'm going to commit here and just like basically said I wanted to be Brad's apprentice. I was like, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, it looked like doing dishes and like playing with Abigail, and it was so awesome. But it was also really hard in that time because I felt like, all right, like I'm just this black dude who had this opportunity and threw it away, and I'm just like a statistic. I'm like, I was working at the outlets like as a janitor, and I was like, they hurried the samples at the Chinese store, like, you want a free sample? That was me. I was like handing out the free samples. It was really cool. And in that season, however, I found like peace. In that season, I grew closer with God. I grew closer with friends like Alex and Micah. And God just really, really changed my life and shaped my heart. And I don't know, we talked one time about like, you said, if AOX was a part of the body, like as a church, like what part would it be? I won't necessarily say what you said now, but I think that it's like a womb, honestly. I think that it's like a womb. Like AOX is like a womb where people come and you just get formed, right? Life is started in like, it started at conception, but it's formed in the womb and things grow properly. And like, that's where they're able to be safe and protected and just like spend that time maturing until they're ready to be delivered. And I really feel like that's what AOX and this community has been to me and just is to a lot of people and so many people. And I'm so, so grateful for that. And so anyways, so I had that season and then I ended up meeting Candace. She was in Columbus and I wanted to marry her. And so I moved out there, and we kind of got married. And then we got married. But while we were there, we were going to this other church, Zion, where I have a lot of friends. And I had a word from one of my close friends there. Because I'd still been struggling, like, you know, like, all right, I'm working jobs and I'm doing awesome stuff for the kingdom. I was, like, at this Muslim school and doing all this cool stuff. But she gave me a word, and she said, and I held on to this word. Like, there's this part in 1 Timothy where it says, wage war with the prophetic words that were spoken over your life. And this is kind of one of those ones that was always stuck out to me. But she said, I see you striking a rock like Moses struck a rock, but you're, like, stabbing it with a pen. And the and instead of water coming out, ink is coming out. And then as the ink comes out, it goes onto this plate and it becomes food. And an interpretation was just that I would basically be able to make a living like writing and doing the things that I loved, which is something that was very dear to my heart and something I was passionate about. Not for my own glory, right? But like for I wanted to do it. I want to change culture for the kingdom of heaven. And I want to be kind of like a voice in the darkness in that kind of specific niche. And so we ended up moving back here, actually, to for the past 2 years to work on our marriage and to grow and to be in community, kind of like we're talking about for you guys, how it's so important. We said, hey, I'll lay everything else down again. Candace laid job stuff down. Candace actually wrote like a piece of legislation kind of for Ohio schools, for Columbus schools. So anyway, she's really awesome too. But so she had all kinds of opportunities. I had more opportunities there. But we're like, hey, man, like, let's come and like just focus on our family and grow this thing out and try to build connections and relationships that are going to help us last and endure and like be successful and healthy. And so we got to kind of re-enter the womb and grow as a couple together, married, into a more healthy thing. And while I was here, I went to Pitt. And so I'm about to finish up this, my last semester. And the whole process of applying to grad schools and stuff has been crazy. But I wanted to apply just to the like number one school just to see if I got in. And God really opened the doors, man. And so that said, I feel like, so I know I trust like my work ethic and my skill, and I really believe God gave me some gifts, you know what I'm saying, that I can use. But I also, it's one of 12 people accepted. It's like a 0.12% out of like 1,000 or something like that. It's like a 0.1 acceptance rate. So I know that it's the favor of the Lord, and I know that he has something for us where we're going. And so what we want to invite you guys into, we're actually going up there next week to do like a welcome week. You know, they're whining and dining us, it's lunches, and it's like, hey, you know, come to the school. And so it's really cool, man. But we're going to go kind of scope out the lay of the land next week. We have some friends from this community that actually planted a church in Detroit a few years ago. But Detroit is like 45 minutes from Ann Arbor, where U of M is. And so we want to be in a healthy place. We don't want to leave here and then be isolated. But we also want to have, I want to know, like, I don't want to be spending all my time one place if I'm supposed to be investing in school and in the relationships there. So we're kind of praying about where to live right now, like in Detroit or in Ann Arbor. And what it's going to look like, if people are going to come with us, if we're going to go alone, if we're going to connect with our friends that are there, or maybe try to find a local church in Ann Arbor. And so I guess that's something that we wanted to invite you guys in as a community to pray with us for clear direction on what it looks like, what this move looks like, whether like for the perfect place to live, whether it's Detroit or Ann Arbor. And secondly, that we would have a community that can both feed us and that we could also be able to be an asset to and help serve. Yeah. Thanks for hearing my story.
So you will hear more about this, you know, obviously in the coming weeks, but we wanted to have them, I want to have David share.
Do you have anything, Candace, to add to that?
I wanted to have them share before they went so you can know. Just to give you an idea, though, and again, this is not something we talk about all the time because there's so much that we can't talk about all of it all the time. Some of you know, but back in, it'd be around 2005, the summer of 2005, Adrian and I had a crazy encounter with God in Ann Arbor and just had a download that you're sitting in right now about a community that would be a family, would send people, came in Ann Arbor. Gabe has actually been with me in Ann Arbor and, you know, talking and praying. We were with actually Miles Hamby, who's a part of the Detroit community now, Eric Fish, just walking and praying. Specifically, God, do you have anything you want to do in Ann Arbor? So this is not something that feels like random to me. I'm not excited about the thought of David and Candace not being here, but I am so excited about the thought of them going. it's kind of like what we've signed up for. And so can we just, again, we can just stretch out your hands. Can you put one hand toward them and one hand on your heart? Sick them, God. Praying for them, let's pray this. God, just bless them and guide their path. You order the steps of the righteous. In some ways, this is what's opening up for them as a couple. And we want to bless them to be able to go and see their family flourish, whatever that looks like. But God, we've also been waiting and dreaming to hear you say, set aside. And God, if there's something more that you would have for us as a community, even if it cost us our best, we say, do a work in our hearts. God, we pray for Detroit. We pray for Ann Arbor. God, I thank you for the dreams. God, would you give wisdom for how to share that stuff in a way that doesn't overwhelm but can inform? The same time frame Carl came for the first time to Grove City, it was in the fall of 2010. It was part of a traveling team that Jesse was on. Many of you know Courtney Werner. The night that Courtney flew in, God gave me a dream. In the dream, I was standing in Pittsburgh, the airport, and God said, it's confirmed, we're going to Michigan. We'll be going in and out of Detroit and Ann Arbor. It's not time yet, but get ready. So God, we just say, whatever you're doing, we just want to cooperate with you. God, would you give us courage to bless this couple? I just speak this as like a caution. One of the things the church has not historically done well is transition. It's hard to say goodbye or hard to say so long to someone you love. And so it's really easy in a time for that to get messy. I just pray that we would exceed and excel in loving David and Candace. And that we would exceed and excel in loving and listening to what God would have to say. If you agree with that prayer, could you just say amen? We love you. All right. Well, guys, it's like probably 12:30. I will let you know that True North this week, you should be reading the book of Galatians. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Derek tomorrow to send out the slides from this week. I'm not going to try to go through the slides, but I do want to pray. Cody, could you come up, please? Just play. So one of the reasons it took so long to get into this is because I didn't want to stand up here and tell you what to think. Dan McCloskey said one time in a meeting we were praying, he said, why don't you share as a father, and then we'll like process it through in our groups, and we'll process it through. I don't know how to do this. I'm just being really honest with you. I was so wrecked last Sunday morning when I came in. I told Adrian before we left the house, I feel like we could spend 3 or 4 weeks minimum on the cross. As I listened to the podcast from last week, I was just really convicted. I just tried to give you guys too much. So there's this tension, like our leadership team knows the tension of, hey, we need to be able to be on a journey that we can say, hey, we're going to do this for 6 weeks and then we'll take a break and then we'll come. We understand that. But guys, I'm the wrong guy to come and walk through some information with you. I don't want to. One of the things we'll move into after this is what we believe God says about church leadership. There's several different frameworks for that. There's like the idea of elders and deacons. There's the idea of like the fivefold. And there's the idea of family.
And those things are not in competition with each other, right? It's not like elders and deacons or apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. It's not that. I submit to you we have much to learn about what leadership looks like. It's become something people joke about what to call, you know, like, are you pastor or whatever, you like, you know. Cody said one time I was the head dude. And I want us to walk in accordance to what God's word says. But I know that whenever I look back at the prophetic words in my life and I look at the men and the women who speak into my life, it leads me to the only way I know to lead our community through this true north thing. And that's as a father. I don't know it all. But I have zero interest in getting up and giving you information and then hoping that you do something good with it. My heart would be that together, I will take leadership, but together, that we would come into an encounter with God that would rearrange what we think. Guys, we're just a few people in a room, but there are leaders all across the country that are praying for our community right now to walk through identity, gender, and sexuality. Every time they tell me that God is leading you guys through this now for such a time as this, there's a weight that I don't know how to communicate. It's not that we're trying to come up with the right answers for everything, but that we're saying, God, come and by your grace, come and bring us into alignment with who you say we are. Thank you. So I don't want to come in here and try to educate you by telling you stuff. I realized, like listening to the message last night, we're halfway through and I'm thinking, how do I get done with this? Because I know it's often like, wow, when are we going to be finished? But I have no desire just to get us through information. Guys, I'm having encounters with God in his word about the cross. And I don't want to come and just tell you, hey, I had a cool morning with God. I want to say, how do we go together as a family and see the beauty of the sacrifice of Jesus? Guys, we can say our identity is in him. And I think there's been a realm that like we've grasped an identity message. But guys, there's so much more. It's like whenever you first learn how to count, you know math. But that's not all of math. And our identity in him is something so much bigger and so much richer and so much deeper. Today's message was supposed to be on the idea of sonship, the idea of being empowered children. As I spent time this week just looking at the word and God, what do you have for us? The love of God. It's like if I ask, how many of you know that God loves you? We could raise our hands and say yes. But his love is so big and it's so furious and it's so great. We read 1 John this week, or that was the invitation. We read 1 John this week. in chapter 3. Behold, what kind of love is this? That the Father has given to us, that we should be called his sons and daughters. I'm listening. I asked you guys to read so much stuff last week that you would have to quit your jobs. But it brought me back to something Gabe said a few weeks ago. Man, we're probably, if we're going to get this, we're going to have to alter our lives to get it. We may have to fast. We may have to give up some TV. We may have to give up some time. We may have to do something just to position ourselves to say, God, we don't want to miss this. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For Kevin, for the joy that was set before him. He went to the cross for love. Romans 5. When Gabe was leading us through Romans, that was the thing that stood out to me. Romans 5, the first 5-10 verses of Romans 5, this beautiful relationship. In verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrated his own love to us and that while we were sinners, he died for us. Can you all stand up? My heart this morning, I had to walk through the alley to get in because I was crying so hard. I didn't want to there's people standing on the corners. I don't want to have to try to figure out how to explain this. I'm just so wrecked, you know? How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. I want to read just a couple of verses over Romans 5 and then pray. And I'm going to tell you what I have faith in my heart for, and I don't know what we'll do. But there's an element to our identity that we can never, ever, we just can't skip it. And we're going to read about it in just a second, but I want you to listen. Would you begin to pray right now? Would you just begin to pray? Like, I would encourage you, whether you hold your hands out, but just get into a place in the posture of your heart, whether it's laying hands on your heart, whether it's being still, whether you need to move, whatever it is. Don't just stand here and listen to words. Position and ask God that you would hear his heart. This is the first 5 verses of Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would know that because you've been justified, you have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. God, would you please come and grow our hunger for you? Hear my heart. Just because we have access doesn't mean we have intimacy. God, we may never become careless. Just because we know we're sons and daughters, that we know we have access to you, that we don't hunger for you. We don't lean into you. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. will never understand identity outside of a close relationship with Holy Spirit. I was excited to share with you some of the history on that. Maybe we'll do that a different time. But Jesus says in John 14 that he would send a helper. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, because you are sons, the Father sent the Spirit of his Son deep into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are sons, he sent the Spirit of his Son deep into your heart, crying out. And then it goes into quotation marks with an exclamation point. Abba, Father. Our identity is so in him. But it's not just the positional thing of in him I am free. Like the only way I can really access my identity is to receive that Spirit on an ongoing basis that's crying out with an exclamation point, Daddy! 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 There's so much love between the Father and the Son. Would you just hold your hands out right now? I'm going to pray. I want you to pray too. Would you pray with me? God, we want a fresh baptism of your love. God, we want a fresh baptism of the Spirit of your Son. That there would be a cry in our heart, God, that walking with you would not just be about avoiding sin, but walking with you would be a cry in our hearts, Daddy, Daddy. John 14, 18, Jesus said this, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And the enemy has a strategy to make the Holy Spirit controversial. The Holy Spirit is none other than the Spirit of the Son. Why would we be afraid of the Spirit of Jesus? Why? It's so foolish. We say we follow Jesus and it's easy sometimes to not want to get caught up too much in the Spirit of Jesus. God, we cry out to you. We cry out to you in Jesus' name. The Spirit of your Son. God, for adoption right now. God, for identity right now. Guys, we're not going to learn our way into identity. We're not going to educate ourselves into identity. It's important that we know what we believe. It's important that we believe what God is saying, but not for the sake of getting it right on a test. It's like getting all of the junk out of the river. It's about getting all of the clutter. It's about breaking apart the dam. Because he said that he is in you like a river. He is in you like a river. We have this hope. And it does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that was given to us. God, I ask right now for a baptism of love, and I ask, God, that you would make us hungry in the name of Jesus. God, not hungry, God, just... God, not hungry out of a place of need. Do you understand? Jesus wasn't hungry because he lacked anything. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He trusts the Father. It can be dangerous if we act. It can be dangerous, guys, if we act like we have to cry out to God in a way to convince him to give us something because he might not want to. That kind of hunger and desperation is unhealthy because it shows we don't know his character. And so if we feel like we have to, like, you know, that's like how Baal, the worshipers of Baal, they're cutting themselves trying to get their God's attention. We don't hunger and thirst because we might not want to give it to us. We hunger and thirst because it's why we're alive. We're alive for his love. He so loved the world, he gave. The only reason humans are on the planet is he wanted to walk with us and fellowship with us. He said, let's make man in our image. Guys, it's my dad's birthday today. And I have a good dad. I don't miss him today because I have to. I ache for him today because I love him. I ache for him today because he loves me. The hunger in my heart for my father is not because of what he didn't give me, but because of what he did. God, come. Put a hunger in our hearts for you, that we would cry out, Daddy. That we would cry out, Daddy. I'm watching Gabe hold Lydia. She hasn't even said a word yet. But she has all of his attention. Can you imagine what it will be like, Gabe, when she says, Daddy, your love for her is already there. But is that something you look forward to? If we, being men, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks? Guys, I'm not talking about like some moment where you, like, man, if God, yeah. I'm not talking about a moment right now just from like a theological place of like getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, Scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And an accurate translation is be filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can we take just a minute? Can we just begin to pray and cry out, God, come and fill me with your Spirit. Not out of a place of lack, not out of a place because we're afraid he won't. But because we hunger. We hunger to be fully alive in the reason that we were alive. We hunger to be fully loved. Listen, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Yeah. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to put the mic down, and I just invite you, like, to let's just make a little like altar on the rugs or wherever. And I invite you to move. I invite you just to say, God, like, I am coming today, and I just want a fresh baptism of your love. I want a fresh baptism of your Spirit. If that's in your heart, I just say jump into it boldly. And God, we trust you that you will establish us in our identity. You will establish us in a spirit of sonship. God, we will know we are loved daughters. We'll know we are loved sons. Well, as we are aware of the Spirit inside of us who's crying out for our Father, crying out, Daddy, crying out, Papa. Yeah, so come and let's just take time to pray and lean into the Lord.